Since we have announced our subject this morning is precious Word of God, it's not too difficult then to discover what our text is for this morning. It is there in the verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious. In those days, the word of the Lord was precious. In those days, there was no open vision. And ask, what does the word of God, the word of the Lord, mean to you? What would your reply be? I'm sure it would be, God's word is very precious. The Lord's word was precious to Job, for he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job 23 verse 12. In other words, he would rather go without his food than go without the word of the Lord. Certainly David the psalmist regarded God's word as very precious. For David said, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Psalm 119, verse 22. You think of that. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And so David was saying, you can keep your gold, you can keep your silver, but give me the word of the Lord. Jeremiah the prophet, made it known what the word of the Lord meant to him. Jeremiah 15, verse 16, the prophet said, thy words were found. That is the word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And here Jeremiah tells us that when he found the word of the Lord, he devoured it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. He devoured the word. The word was to him the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. That's what God's word was to Jeremiah. And he tells us why this was so. Because I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You get that? Why did Jeremiah rejoice in the word? Why did he devour the word, study it, and preach it? Why did he count the word of God as precious? He said, because I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word of the Lord was all of those things to him because he was a child of God. Of course, the person who's not a child of God will not regard the word of the Lord as precious. They may never even read the word. They never even care about the word of God. But the person who's saved by grace the person who loves the Lord will surely love the Word of God. All its testimonies, all its laws and commandments. If we love the Lord, surely we'll love the Word. May our testimony be the Word of the Lord to me is precious. The Word of the Lord to me is precious. And so looking at these words, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. First thing we notice is, regarding the word of the Lord being precious, we look at first of all the reason. The reason. The reason why the word of the Lord is precious. We're given the reason why the word of the Lord is precious, described here as precious. First of all, because of the absence. We're told that the word of the Lord was precious in those days because there was no open vision. And what does that mean? It means that apart from certain men of God being employed by the Lord to deliver his message in extraordinary circumstances, there was no open vision. There was no communication from heaven, from God, with a prophet. Only a man of God would have been used by the Lord. If you look there for Samuel 2 and verse 27, we have an example of that. And there came a man of God, not necessarily a prophet. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And there came a man of God, not a prophet as such, but the Lord used this particular man of God to communicate to Eli his mind and his will. But there was no recognized prophets of the Lord to whom the people might have recourse for counsel. There was no prophet of God that they could go to and inquire of that prophet what would be the will of God in certain circumstances and situations. In other words, the Lord was not communicating with the people through visions as he would do with prophets. He'd reveal his will, he would appear unto prophets and give them his will, his word to deliver to the people. But there was no recognized prophet. None to receive visions from the Lord. It was as if heaven was silent. Heaven was silent. There was no chosen and called prophets of the Lord to receive communications from God. How would you feel if you find yourself in those circumstances? No place where you could go to have the Word of God preached unto you. Think of that. What of this Lord's day dawn and you have nowhere to go to hear the word, to receive a word from the Lord, to hear the preaching of the word? Would that not make the word of God precious to you? Because you couldn't find it anywhere. in your locality? Would we not say with Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them? My, if you did find a place where the word was preached faithfully, the book was opened, would you not devour that word? You would say, at last, I found a place that preaches the word. There was no open vision in the days prior to the Lord raising up Samuel. So there you have the absence of the word. That leads us to consider the apostasy. Why was there no open vision? Why was God not communicating with prophets? Why had he not raised up prophets before Samuel? I'll tell you why. Because of the apostasy in the land. The priesthood was corrupt. As we see in the two sons of Eli, in verses 12 and 13. Look at those two verses, 1 Samuel 3. Verse 12, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, his sons had made themselves vile. They were the priests. They were supposed to be the people who were leading the nation. So often it has been said, as the church goes, so does the world. And so we see here, no chosen prophet to receive communications from God until the Lord raised up Samuel. Here was the judgment of God upon the nation that had turned away from the worship of Jehovah and had turned to the worship of Baal and false gods. It was apostasy that was in the land. That's why there was no open vision. That's why the word of the Lord was precious. It could hardly be found. You turn with me, please, to the prophet Amos. Turning to Amos, chapter 8. There was the apostasy in Samuel's day, and we see the apostasy in Amos' day. Find Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. So we're in Amos, chapter 8. Verse 11. Behold, the day has come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine. Mark that. I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. A famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. Is that not a description of this present day? Is it not a famine of hearing the words of the Lord? Why? Because of the apostasy. Those who have a hunger for the hearing of God's word don't know where to go to find it. They visit this church and that church, but the word is not preached there. Here, there, and yonder. They wander from church to church. No preaching of the blood. No preaching of Christ. No preaching of the word of God. The infallibility of Scripture. No preaching of the virgin birth. No preaching of the sinlessness of Christ. No. No preaching of the miracles of Christ. Apostasy. And there you have it. And that's why we read in verse 12, the people traveled far and wide to receive God's word. And there are those in our churches here in North America. It's one of the blessings of Northern Ireland. You wouldn't need to travel too far until you find a gospel preaching church. A place that is true to the blood and to the book. But in North America, our presbyteries contacted all the time by individuals, maybe a couple of families. Could you send us a man to preach to us? There's nowhere around here where we can go. You think of being in that state. Think of being in that particular situation where there was nowhere for you to go. And in many of our churches, people travel considerable distances. I know in the state, they travel from one state to another to hear the word. Why? Because the word of God to them is precious. That's why. Jeremiah said he would not have the word. If he had the word, he would devour it. David said, give me the word before you give me silver and gold. Why? Because to those individuals, the word of the Lord is precious. It's rare today. You think of what the Lord says there in Amos. He would send a famine, not of water, but of the hearing of the word. Well, you think, well, there's a natural famine. You think of how precious water is in a famine. People will travel miles to get water. God's word is the soul reviving, refreshing water. And many travel many, many miles today to get the word. Why? Because the word to them is precious. If it wasn't precious, they wouldn't travel miles. If it wasn't precious, they wouldn't care. They wouldn't contact our presbytery. It's as precious as water in the time of famine. As well as the absence, and as well as the apostasy, we see also the appreciation. That is, only those who appreciate and love God's word regard it as precious. And there is no hunger for the word, if there is no love for the word, then it will never be regarded as precious. That's it. There was certainly a hunger for the word in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. We turn, please, to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, remember, the original Hebrew Bible, Nehemiah and Ezra are one book. And the theme of Ezra and Nehemiah is revival. Not interesting. Well, there's revival. The Word of God plays a central part. The 1859 revival in Ulster, churches were packed out. They had to open the windows of their churches and people stood outside to hear the Word of God. And when the minister finished preaching, nobody moved. Nobody left the building. The minister had to preach again. Revival. Preaching of the word plays an important part in revival. It is central, along with prayer. Now look here in Nehemiah chapter 8. Ezra and Nehemiah, the books on revival, building again of the temple and the walls around the city. Read in verse 1 of Nehemiah 8. And all the people, not one or two, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was called the Water Gate. Isn't that interesting? Water is a type of the word. And where did they gather? They gathered at the Water Gate. Came together as one man into the street that was before the Water Gate, and they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses. So here we have the people requesting the word, saying to Ezra, bring the book, Ezra, bring the word, bring the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Look at verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the Water Gate from the morning until midday. Well, there were some complaints. If a minister preached from morning to midday, morning, 6 o'clock a.m., 12 noon. And he read therein before the street that was called before the Water Gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand. So the little children were there too. And the ears of all the people, look at it, were attentive unto the book of the law. They were attentive. They were the ones who called for the word. Bring the book, Ezra. And they built a pulpit. And Ezra stood there and read the law of Moses, the word of God, from 6 a.m. to 12 noon. Preaching the word. Look at verse 8. And they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. With such a large congregation, you read through the chapter, you'll find there were those who stood in the congregation, placed at strategic places in the congregation, and as Ezra read the word, these individuals would relate it to the people who are around them and give them the understanding. There was a love for the word. They called for the word of God. What was the word to them? What was the word to all those who gathered there at the street before the water gate, the word of the Lord evidently was precious. They loved the word. Oh, may we love the word. Love the word. And may for us the word of the Lord always be precious. So we have considered the reason the word is precious. I want to look now at the rarity of the word. The word of the Lord was precious because of its rarity. We have already noted there was no open vision. There was no communication from God to recognize prophets. If a rare diamond was discovered somewhere and dug up and through the process, it would be regarded as very precious. Before very long, we would be told the monetary value of that diamond. But no such value can be put on the word. Can't put a monetary value upon God's word. Suffice to say, God's word is precious. Precious because it is a particular word. It's a particular word. What do we read there in that verse? First Samuel 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. It's a particular word because it was the word of the Lord that made it precious. It was the word of the Lord, not the word of man. The word of the Lord. Does that not make it precious? Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians, when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as of the word of man, but as it is, in truth, the word of God. Would you like Paul's words? Let people have no doubt. When ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, word of God. Paul emphasized the fact that the word that he preached unto them in Thessalonica was the word of God. It wasn't his word. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. That makes it a precious word. Because we hold in our hands. What do you have in your hand now? Sitting here in God's house, the word I have in my hand is precious because it's the word of God, not the word of man. Peter informs us, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. In other words, this book is inspired. No contradictions. It is the word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Don't let anybody tell you this is not an inspired word. It certainly is the inspired word of the living God. Paul again tells us, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's the higher critics today, and they'll say, oh, this part isn't inspired, or some other part isn't inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That tells me that there is no other book like the Word of God. There's no other book like this in all the world. If possible, you could search all the libraries of all the nations in the world, and praise the Lord, you'll never find a book like this. It is the Word of God. The living Word of the living God. Because what we hold in our hands and hold near to our hearts is the precious Word of the Lord. The Word, listen, the Word that men and women were prepared to die for. You think of our reformers. Rather than deny the God of heaven, rather than deny the book, they would rather go and be burned at the stake. They were prepared to die for the Word, prepared to be beaten for the Word, prepared to be jailed for the Word. You want to look at the Apostle Paul, the beatings that he suffered, the imprisonments that he had. He did it all for the Word of God, because the Word to Paul was precious. It's a particular word. It's a permanent word that makes it precious. Isn't that what makes the Word of the Lord so precious? It is an eternal word. What did the Savior himself say? Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Never. You can't make that word never mean something else. Never. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Matthew 24:35. Other words are written. Volumes are printed. Many books are published. But they eventually fade away and are forgotten. Not this word. In spite of all the efforts of the forces of hell, the Word of the Lord has not and never will pass away. It's been banned in many countries. The Word of God has been banned. The Word of God has been burned. The Word of God has been buried. But still, it lives on. It lives on. It has not passed away. It is a blessing to have this wonderful living Word that has survived many attacks of Satan, many attacks of apostate ministers, many attacks of the skeptics, many attacks of the deniers. Praise the Lord, the Word is still here. Has not passed away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the Lord's Word shall never pass away. Wonderful, isn't it? That's what makes it so precious. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Particular word? Permanent word? Something else that makes it precious? It's a powerful word. As we have seen, this is no ordinary word. It is the word of the Lord. God's word is as powerful as God is himself. It is the word of God. What do we read? Over in Hebrews, chapter 4. There in Hebrews 4, the verse 12. For the word of God is, this is what it is, no matter what anybody says, no matter what modernists say, higher critics say, apostates say, this is what God's word is. The word of God is quick. We know what the word quick means. It means living. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word gets right to the very heart. Quick and powerful. But they say it's a living word. A man may sit under the preaching of the word, say in a gospel mission or a gospel service in the church, and he can leave that meeting unmoved. And then a week, few weeks, or even a few months later, the word they heard a few months before comes back to them, rises up before them, and brings conviction. And very often leads to conversion. Remember, I told you about the late Pastor Willie Mullen. He wrote a book about his life called Tramp After God. That's what he was. He was a tramp. He lived in a house, an old ramshackle of a house in a town called Newton Arch. Lived with a bunch of men that are up to no good. One day he said this invitation to a gospel mission was slipped under the door. He looked at it, never thought anything more of it, until one day he was out in the street and he saw a young man whom he knew was a Christian. And he said, but Mr. Mullen said, I see you're having a mission. I'll maybe come sometime. Well, he says, I've no intention of going. And the young man said, will you go? I'll come for you. I'll bring you and I'll sit with you. Well, the young man came to the old house and brought Willie with him to the mission. The man preached on the judgment of God, about the books being opened, about God's judgment. Willie went out of that meeting. I'll never be back there again. And that was it. Until a few months later, he was in the middle of a field he was planning to rob a house. And as he was down in the middle of the field, suddenly, well, he says, what about the Day of Wrath? And the living Word spoke to him 2 months later. And Willie Mullen got saved that day in the middle of a field. And he tells, he got up out of the field and walked down the road and he saw a man coming. And he went over to him. He said, you know something? I met the Lord in the field there. He said, the man got away over to the other side of the road. Thought there was something wrong with him. But that is that illustrated that the word of the Lord is living. What a powerful word we have. Isn't that what Paul said? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That word power is the word we get our English word dynamite from. God's word is the dynamite of heaven. And you think how that power can be used. It can be used through preaching, through personal witness, through distribution of tracts, through radio ministry, through the internet. Because it's a powerful word. And we have God's word in our hands. Listen, we have the power of God in our hands. Very quickly, the word of the Lord is precious. Converts the soul. Conquers Satan. Comforts the saints. His precious word, we give the reason, we give the rarity. Then there's the revelation. The revelation. God reveals himself to us in and through his precious word. He opens the word, and there we find, first of all, God's statutes. God hasn't left us to muddle through life, not knowing what's right or what's wrong. He's given us his statute. He's given us his laws, his commandments. We've only to turn to Psalm 119. And there we read in Psalm 119, of course it's all about the word. I believe it's only 4 verses in all of Psalm 119 where God's word is not mentioned. Statutes and laws, commandments, etc. When you turn to Psalm 119, you read the psalm, you read the word, what does it do? Keeps you from sin. Keeps you from sin. Leads to a holy life. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You can go through the psalm, and I'll take time to give the reference of the true psalm, the true psalm 119, and you'll see how the word of God keeps you from sin and leads to a holy life. That's what makes it precious. The revelation of God's statutes. Now today we have the revelation of God's Son. As pointed out before, our dear Savior is to be found everywhere we turn to in the Scriptures. Then the Lord show to Emmaus disciples. That very truth. Because we read there in Luke 24, how he drew near and went with those disciples, and beginning at Moses, Luke 24, verse 27, beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All the scriptures. There the Lord is in all the scriptures. That certainly makes it a precious book. Would that not lead us then to read more of the Word? Since we know the Lord is here in all the book, Genesis to Revelation, Christ is there. And we, when we know Christ is there, surely it will lead us to read more of the Word, study the Word, meditate upon the Word more. Psalm 1, verse 2. That blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This shows how precious the word of the Lord was to the Psalms. Meditate upon it day and night. And the Lord said to those Pharisees who believed salvation came by the law, the Lord said to them, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. That is, they thought the eternal life in the law. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. They studied the law, but they didn't see Christ. And that's what the Lord said. These are they which testify of me. Does that not make the word of God precious? Surely it does. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. May the word of the Lord be precious to us in these days. The Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's follow the prayer. Lord, dear loving God, we do thank thee for the book that we have before us. More precious than silver or gold. More precious than our necessary food. Oh Lord God, make us ready students of thy word. Pray, Lord, thou would bless the word this morning to all of our hearts. May we be encouraged by it. Oh Lord, we ask thee that thou would write the word on the fleshly tables of our hearts. Dear Lord, bless this Sabbath day to our soul. Be with us now, Lord, as we leave thy house. Take us to our homes and safety. Lord, bless our coming together again this night in thy will. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now. And until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.